This is Donald Hussig with Grassroots Environmental Protection Radio. Joining us tonight is Tom Andaloro from Long Island. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
So what we're going to be talking about tonight is occupational exposure. Mr. Andaloro has a pretty, what is the word, scary, it's this very kind of concern-raising and intense story, you know, his life experience here that he's going to relate to us. Just start us off here, Tom, with, you know, a description of your job. You know, what's involved with the job that you do?
Okay. I was working for a company on Long Island, Jamaica Ash, there in Westbury. He's got multiple carding companies on Long Island. And what they do is they supply, you know, they dump at this incinerator plant, which burns household municipal garbage. And they actually had a contract for hired equipment. So I had to be at an ash building. And the job was for me to drive the truck. It's truck hire. To empty the ash out of the building and dump. They load you up and you go dump it. So you're committed to be in this building, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. Can't leave there. And I was there 5 years, and I developed an occupational disease from exposure of the ash and lime, the chemicals that are in it. And
Okay. Tell me, what was it like being in there? You know, just give us, you know, an average experience that you had being in that building when, you know, when they were loading the truck up, you know, when the ash was being, you know, manipulated, being, you know, worked with. Just kind of like try to paint us a picture, you know, tell us what it was like being in there.
Okay, it's just a building that has overhead doors. You're either waiting in a driveway with the overhead doors open. And as you're looking inside, there's a big conveyor, two stories up, that's dropping the stuff straight down into a pit. And if they wet it down, you know, you got a mud on the bottom. If they don't wet it down, a lot of times it's dry or they're adding a lot of lime to it. It turns into a dust ball, like a fog mist. And inside of 50 or 60 feet, once it comes out of the building, when it blows outside, it just disappears. But that don't mean it's gone. It leaves like a film all over the place, all over the truck, the ground, the building. You know, it sticks to you, actually sticks to your skin, your hair, everything. It's horrible. And you're stuck there. No training, no protective gear, nothing. And the truck I was in was 20 years old, no air conditioning, nothing. It was a real, turned out to be a disaster. They don't do no ash testing, no air testing in that building. That's where the drop is. Every time they run tests on a complex, they tell you everything is fine. Not fine where they put me to work. And there's medical proof to back that up now as we speak.
Okay. Let's kind of like go through the fine details of this now.
Okay.
What was, you know, where did this, you know, where did this ash come from? What was, you know, you've given us, you know, some basics, but I want to really focus on where the ash came from. You know, what was the ash, you know, what produces ash?
It's the household garbage from the garbage trucks. They dump it into the building and gets pushed into a pit, the front part of the building with payloaders. Then they have overhead grapplers that pick it up, drop it out to a metal conveyor that walks it into the incinerators, and it gets burnt.
Okay.
On the other end of that
So this ash that you were working with, you know, that you were hauling, that ash was produced by burning household trash.
Yes, and it gets treated with number 3 lime is on the tank and chlorine. And I'm pretty sure after it's burnt, it has lead in it too. And what makes it a little different than the rest of them, there's a cell block that's not capped, and it's acres and acres of ash open to the elements, night and day, round the clock. Nobody cares. And they tell you it's covered with sand. You know, the roadway, It's baloney. That stuff is wide open.
Well,
and there's plenty of people working around that area too. Not, but I was in the real critical part of it. So even
so, what you're saying is that at the Jamaica Ash Company property, on that property, there's a big open area where ash is being collected. You know, where ash is being, you know, just sitting there out in the open.
Yes, it's out in the open. You can see it from Southern State Parkway.
Okay.
And Jamaica Ash is the name of the outfit. That was my employer. They had the contract to keep the truck there, truck hire. The property was Covanta. That's where the plant is. And right next door, driveway to driveway, is Babylon Town. They own the ash landfill. So it's a marriage with all of them.
Yep.
But yeah. And it's been going on for years. And I took a spot of the driver prior was 44 years old. He died. I'd really like to find out what he passed on. The coughing gets so bad, you got to hold on to squeeze your body from stop it from blowing apart. They even sent me for rib scans. That's how bad and violent it gets from these chemicals. It's a horror.
So I had to, like, you know, can I just go back a little bit? So I asked you about that place where the open ash was being collected. Is that on the, you know, the Covanta property, where the Jamaica, you know, ash gets this ash from and hauls this ash from, or is it on the Town of Babylon property?
The cell block where they dump is on the town's property.
Wow.
And the plant,
yep.
You know, I don't know if it's leased or they bought it. It's like having two houses next door to each other.
I understand.
You come out of one driveway, and you're going to the next driveway. That's the way it's set up.
I get it. Yeah, that's some... See, my interest in this is because of all the chemicals that are in the ash. I've studied this for years, since way back in the 1980s, you know, decade after decade, studied the chemicals that are in the smoke, you know, the air emissions that come out of incinerators, and also the chemicals that are in the ash from burning trash. It's very concern-raising to hear you say that you were exposed to that ash. I have another question for you. Was it bottom ash, you know, from down the bottom of the incinerator, or was it fly ash?
It's fly ash.
Yeah, see, the fly ash, that's coming from up in the stacks, you know, the smokestack. And the problem with the fly ash
that stuff
is
comes out
that,
almost white.
Yep.
Everything gets dropped off of that conveyor down into the pit. And you got to wait for them to send their own man out, the payload operator, to load you up so you could drive out of the building.
Well, the fly ash, it is well documented that it contains PCBs, these polychlorinated biphenyls. And the PCBs, they are a very dangerous chemical. In March of 2013, you know, just a little less than a year ago now, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, they're part of the World Health Organization. They held a big meeting where they were making a new determination on the cancer-causing, cancer-causing categorization, you know, the cancer-causing classification for PCBs. And they decided that the PCBs were known human carcinogens, that they are going to rank them, they rank them a number one. That's the highest ranking for a cancer-causing chemical that the IARC uses. And, you know, that is a really big deal. But on top of the cancer-causing effects of the PCBs, they're part of a bigger group of chemicals called persistent organic pollutants. And these POPs, these persistent organic pollutants, it's becoming clear that they cause endocrine disruption, they cause cancer, they cause cardiovascular disease, you know, heart disease, they cause diabetes, type 2 diabetes, they cause ADHD, autism, reproductive problems. They affect so many body organ systems. They cause autoimmune diseases. They cause cognitive, you know, thinking type of deficits and thinking problems. It's very wide that the harm that's caused by these persistent organic pollutants, including the PCBs and dioxins. And that the dioxins are another group of chemicals that are present in the fly ash when you burn municipal solid waste, such as what was occurring there at that Covanta facility in Babylon. So you were certainly exposed when you breathed that fly ash. You were breathing in some of the PCBs and some of the dioxins, and there could well have been some metals like arsenic or lead or cadmium or chromium in that ash also. There's, the more of the metals end up being in the bottom ash, you know, higher concentrations, but there certainly are some metals also in the fly ash. You breathed in a terrible cocktail of toxic chemicals, so it's not surprising to hear that you are experiencing some health effects from that. It's a terrible thing, and it should never, this type of thing should not happen, and yet it does happen, and it's because there's a breakdown in the government activities that were intended to protect workers. It's all about the failures of the, you know, the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They're just clearly not doing what they should be doing. I'm sure it is not, it should not be anyways. I've never truly talked to anybody that did this job that you're talking about, so
well,
I cannot say for sure. Say what?
Not to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
OSHA gets a head up, gets a heads up on the inspections. The plant knows a week ahead of time when they're going to come down. And when they do come down, everything is cleaned up, and that back conveyor is usually stopped. And they tell the OSHA inspectors that it's down for maintenance. So you got it's a big fraud going on over there. You know, and unfortunately, the workers are the pawns. And nobody really seems to care. It's business as usual.
So tell me, what was it like beginning to discover that this was harming your health? You know, just kind of walk us through the changes that you experienced as you're working there, as you're, you know, feeling, you know, like you felt when you first started working. What was it like losing your health, and how did you find out, you know, what was it like finding out what was wrong?
Okay. I don't have any history in my record at all of sickness, of illness. Never. I even worked for the Postal Service. I was a tractor trailer driver for them. Nothing in my background ever. What happened was I had thought I was having a problem with sinuses in the beginning. And then I developed a cough. Like, I didn't think anything of it. As time went on, the cough got more chronic. And then I started noticing a shortness of breath. And I still couldn't figure out what was wrong. I figured it was from the having some chest congestion. The shortness of breath got very bad. You couldn't breathe normal. Sometimes you had to force a full breath. And I never had a problem like that. And by the time, you know, when you're always healthy, now you need a doctor to get into a specialist to find out what's going on. You know, these guys are backed up. Everybody's got so many upper respiratory problems. I went to one of the doctors, told him what was going on. I started spitting up blood. I had all black stuff coming out of me. First guy told us, this Dr. Dupkin from Montefiore Hospital, told us he suspected it was occupational, but he'd have to prove it. Booked another appointment to start running tests. I went back to him. He had a complete change of heart. Turns around and tells me, I got asthma with no testing. And he says to me, I advise you to go for allergy tests. And he booked an appointment for an allergist. That just didn't sit right with me. I never went back to him.
Sure.
Right? That day, it was clearly, you know, he was protecting the plant. It was obvious,
yep.
Very obvious. I had to find a doctor outside of New York and Long Island to find out what was wrong with me. So we did. We found a Dr. Falk in Jersey, and that man actually saved my life. That's how bad and poor condition I was in. And when he realized it was from the plant, we sent the fax over to the employer that I'm going to be under his care until further notice. And he told them at the time was asthmatic bronchitis. Wasn't even 2 days later, the employer cut me financially. Bang, boom. No Family Leave Act. They still owe me a day's pay. They were sending me out papers that I had a prior condition, never notified them. And they turned around, they had the union cut my medical inside of 8 weeks. Left me like a dog. And to this day, I'm still out of work. No coverage, no medical, no income, nothing. Mm-hmm. Workers' compensation, they put their own case together. They won't accept the medical from my own doctors that we paid for. I don't know what they put together, but they closed the case out. Employer showed up with some kind of evidence, and that was the end of that. But to this day, I still got no help, and I got to be monitored for the rest of my life.
Well,
it's a nightmare.
So what is your diagnosis?
I got asthma, COPD, chest tightness. I get spasms in my chest. Stops you dead. You can't even inhale, take a breath. You go shopping, you got to stop. You get tired. Put stuff in the car, you got to stop. You can't breathe. Just walking back and forth from the driveway to the house, when you get the packages home, you got to stop. You get tired. You can't take showers. You can't use deodorant. The cold air bothers me. The humid air bothers me. It's a horror. And nobody wants to know nothing.
And the COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder.
Well, there's a whole list of stuff from the doctor over here. And it's a bunch of doctors. It's not just one doctor that I went to. It's all specialists. The employer, you don't want to know nothing. I quit the job. I walked off the job. I did all kinds of things, according to them. It's amazing. They were even at my house with a cop to interview my neighbors to see if I was around. I mean, at what point is it harassment? Your
right.
Home's spitting. They got a fax from the doctor. I'm under his care. It should have been cut and dry.
Right.
Turn out that way.
Yeah, it sounds like that they're far from being willing to take responsibility for the harm they've caused you. They're trying to, you know, just kind of screw you over. Just
there's contracts involved. You know, the plant needs them. They can't burn and create electricity without them. So, you know, everything is protected, you know, and they're guarded, period. What else could you say?
Yeah.
You know, you get attorneys, they tell you point blank, they'd like to help you. They're afraid they're going to get their licenses pulled. Unfortunately, I'm stuck like this.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
It's a terrible situation, and I'm sure that there are other people out there who will end up listening to this that say, well, that's very much similar to what I've experienced in my occupational exposures and the problems that come from that. What are your options, what do you see in the future as far as, you know, what you can do to deal with this? If that was me, you know, I'd be thinking, you know, I'm going to get some justice out of this. You know, they did that to me, and I want justice. Where do you see this going?
Let me tell you something, and this is sorry to say, because I can't be the only one. The Labor Department, that's a joke. I got a letter here from them. They advised me to get counsel. They can't do anything. Okay?
Well.
The other local agencies, they tell you they don't handle this. Call this one. You call the other one, they tell you we don't handle this. Call the next one. You call the next one, we don't handle this. You know, it's just, it's a circle. It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, it's their circle. You know, when people as a worker, you're stuck. That's it.
I see this country as a place where the government was a good idea. It was a wonderful idea to have government, but then the corporations that have so much money and so much political power and so much status, you know, everybody can, you know, lots of people feel like the people that run the corporations are important and powerful, and people tend to give them, you know, respect when they don't deserve respect, but they just give them respect because they have so much money and they have so much power. It's a country where the government has been taken over by the corporations to the extent that the government doesn't do what it was intended to do. So, like, such as in your case, with the occupational exposures you're getting that should never have happened, that's happening, and you get exposed, and you get these chemicals in your body, and it harms you, and you are sick, and then you can't, you know, find any help from the government. and it just goes round and round. The EPA and the New York State DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, New York State Department of Health, they've had such lengthy dealings with them. And what I conclude from all the experiences that I've had with the EPA, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency, and New York State DEC and New York State DOH, I conclude they are controlled by politics and money to the extent that they do not function to protect the environment or the public health. You know, that's the end of it.
You know, it's like the announcement they made from 9/11 when they got the air testing results back and everything was fine with all the first responders and everybody died and they're still dying today. You know, it's ridiculous.
And, you know, speaking of 9/11, the chemicals that were in that smoke from burning that building with all that plastic in it and all those synthetic materials, burning, you know, the ceiling tiles and the flooring and the wall, you know, paneling or whatever it was, burning the computers, burning, you know, all the different stuff that was in there, the smoke that came from that and the dust that came from that and the first responders breed, it was very similar in many ways to the smoke and the ash and the materials that come from incineration, because you're just, it's burning. It's burning man's modern materials.
Yep, and in the beginning they gave them a good readout on the air quality too, right, if you remember.
Yeah, but that's so far from true, because those people were, those firefighters and those police, they were breathing dioxins, they were breathing PCBs, they were breathing all kind of metals that were in that ash and in that dust and in that, you know, smoke. And that is clearly a case where people were exposed to very dangerous chemicals, and yet, you know, I've not heard much of any kind of, you know, kind of describing it that way.
You've got a broken system.
Yeah, a broken system, totally. And so I do this radio show in hopes that we will just kind of educate the American public to the extent that they would see this, that they would see without having this experience that you've had and without, you know, experiencing what I experienced as this person that's working with this cancer group, you know, that they would see it from our words and hear it from our words and know it from what we're sharing with them, that the system is broken, that we do not have a good government. We have a government that's a terrible government that would let its people down and allow workers to be exposed to toxic chemicals and then not do the right thing when this has happened, you know, not hold the companies accountable. So the company just keeps right on doing it and harming other people and getting kind of in the habit of doing things in a harmful way. This thing of careless, I describe it as careless chemical use. And, you know, whether that means they're, like, using an agricultural chemical like the Roundup from Monsanto, or whether it means using the, you know, back through the years, the Agent Orange that was used in Vietnam and very similar chemicals, this 2,4,5-T, which was one of the main ingredients of the Agent Orange, that was used all over Long Island on, you know, any place where they wanted to. It was a herbicide. It killed brush. It's a brush killer. And that 2,4,5-T was used all over, you know, the U.S. and all over Long Island on the railroad right-of-ways and on the power lines and various places where there was any brush to be controlled. And that, and back in the old days when they were doing that, that 2,4,5-T had a heavy contaminant of dioxin because of the way they manufactured that chemical. And see, I call it careless chemical use because they put those chemicals all over the place when they didn't even know what contaminants were in it, and they didn't know what the contaminants did to, you know, people's bodies or animals' bodies or anything's body. And it just goes on and on. That is careless chemical use when they let you get exposed to the dioxin and the PCBs in the ash because, you know, believe me, the company knows those chemicals are in that ash. And they just don't care if you get those chemicals in your body.
No, the company is one problem. Workers' comp is another. They don't look to help the workers out. They put their own case together without your medical. You know, they cut your medical. So now all they have is, asthma medicine. That's not occupational, and they rule on it. That's the end of you. Next, unfortunately. So, you know, if they don't help you out there when the workers need help, the plant never even trains anybody, who's going to help these people out?
Nobody. It's just people are on their own. It's too dangerous. It's a very dangerous world.
You never hear from anybody.
These people should be held accountable. They should be. I just dream of a day when the basic grassroots, salt of the earth, you know, the good, rock solid, good American people. I just dream of the day when those people, all of us, have gotten organized enough that we have enough power that we can bring these corporate people that have caused this harm, we can bring them to justice by having, I don't know, whether it be hearings or our own court system or whatever it will take to do the work of holding the corporations and the failed government accountable for all the harm that has occurred. And there is so much harm, you know.
There was a guy that took my work clothes and sent it to a military lab to get analyzed. That information was supposed to be used to go to the doctor so he would know how to treat me. All right? I got express numbers, and I could even give you this man's phone number. His name is John Cole. He won't let that report go. He said they had told him the findings of grave public danger. And that's the end of that. So that got buried, too.
Well, it is a grave danger because those dioxins and PCBs, the dioxins, they're also a part of these persistent organic pollutants, this group. And dioxins, when the Vietnam veterans got exposed to dioxins, the Vietnam soldiers got exposed to the dioxins in Vietnam, it was used as a herbicide. It was to clear the vegetation, you know, to destroy the vegetation so the enemy didn't have cover. It was a tactical use of chemicals in war. And so the soldiers, you know, the Marines, the Army, the various, you know, military forces over there, U.S. and the, you know, Viet Cong and these various South Vietnamese, they were all out there, and the people were out there too, all being exposed to dioxin from the Agent Orange. And now they must study. And the studies show that with the Agent Orange veterans, you know, the ones that got exposed to the Agent Orange when they were in the military, these people have higher rates of prostate cancer, they have higher rates of type 2 diabetes, they have higher rates of heart disease, heart trouble. I had a good friend. His name was Jack Gray, and he was a Marine on the ground in Vietnam for a considerable period of time. And he had dioxin exposure, and he died of a heart attack. He died of a heart attack when he was in his 60s. He was playing tennis, and he was just getting ready to serve, and he dropped over dead. And his kids, and we all know what caused it.
There's a lot of problems from the Adam's apple to the cross of the ribs. Your throat sometimes actually expands, and you can feel it start to turn sideways. It'll scare the hell out of you.
Wow.
And the cross of the ribs, unannounced at any time. You could just be watching TV. It's like somebody comes up and hits you there with a sledgehammer. Takes your breath away, period, where you can't even get a breath back. You got to wait for that spasm to pass.
Well,
it's really a nightmare.
I can only say, go ahead.
That's what you deal with every day. You can't even get a decent night's sleep with the car. You don't know when the coffee is going to start off mild, go chronic, and then violent, bad. It's unbelievable.
Do your doctors offer you any hope of any kind of significant recovery? Is this something you can gradually, once you get away from all that ash and just kind of woo your body, do they think that your body can, you know, somewhat restore your health, or is this it?
There's some rehabilitation you could go to. I have no medical, no income, no nothing. They cut me worse than a dog running around the street. One day, if I could ever recoup anything, maybe I could go for some treatments.
Yep.
So, and the doctor does what he could. You know, the man actually gives me medicine and visit to visit to help me out. Unbelievable. Like I was his own relative, his own kid.
Good guy.
Yep.
There are plenty of good people out there, but these corporate people, these people that like Covanta, that these people that work for Covanta that are up high up in there, They are not good people. It's just as simple as that. They are not good people. They are dangerous, bad people that will do anything to make money, and they've harmed you.
As long as they got the front entrance of the plant groomed, grass cut, some trees planted, they're happy. And they'll give you a hard hat. for their insurance. They could care less about anything else. Most of the guys like me in the back and the supervisors are walking around. They see you back there in that crap, and they just keep going. You know, they don't have to be in there hour on top of hour and hour and hour. Amazing.
Yeah, nobody, I am absolutely certain that it is very, very far from what should be allowed in a civil society, you know, in a country that claims to be ruled by, you know, regulations and laws, and it's supposed to be a country that's, you know, based upon doing the right thing and having laws and, you know, controlling, you know, dangerous things. It's certainly unthinkable that somebody would have to work in a place where all that ash was. And, you know, was it pretty much up in the air? You know, when you were breathing, did it seem like you were breathing a lot of it, a little of it, you know, just a tiny bit of it? What was it like breathing in there?
Your throat becomes dry. You're constantly wiping yourself, paper towels, you know, whatever. You know, you bring gear with you for the day. You know, your Windex, your paper towels, whatever you need. And as you start to pat down your face and your arms, that stuff has got like a leaves almost like a soot-like film on you. You know? And it gets into every nook and cranny, even the car, and the car's parked far away. The car's got like a light gray inside, outside, all around the door jams, everything. You wipe it, it's black. You know?
Wow.
So, and they tell you, don't worry about it. There's, you know, everything is good. There's other people at work here. You know, but nobody works in the back where the drop is.
Yeah. But so tell me this. When you were working, say like when you were sitting in the truck and they were loaded up, did you, you know, was it bad enough? Was it dusty enough in the air, you know, the ash can up? Part of the air there that you could sense that you were breathing it, or was it just that you breathed it and you didn't really notice it, but it was still, you know, it built up and you were harmed by it? Was it, you know, how dusty was it?
The door on this truck, they don't even close right. I used to leave the fan on the dash and throw it towards the door to keep the dust out of the cab.
Yep.
That stuff you can't even see. You know, when you go to blow your nose or you start to cough and you gotta spit up, that's when you see the garbage coming out of you.
Well,
you know, you go back and say something, they tell you put a mask on. You got a mask on. And stuff just goes right through your skin, your hair, everything.
Well,
you know?
So did they have you wear a mask when you were driving the truck?
I used to bring my own mask. And their own employee used to, the payload operator, used to give me a paper mask every once in a while. Otherwise, you had nothing. You know, that
wow.
stuff, when you get in and out of the truck, it sticks to your shoes. Now when you get back in to drive from your feet, when it turns it into like a very, very fine powder, that's in the cab with you. You can't
yep.
escape
yep.
this.
So
it's
yep.
in the cab, out of the cab, it's in the air. It's unbelievable.
Do you,
so, and, you know, when, you know, if somebody else is taking my place, God bless them.
Wow. It'd be very, I would love to see a video. I would just love to see a video of what it looks like in that building when they're loading up, you know, and when people are in there, you know. That would be a very powerful, you know, add-on to.
I can send you a stack of pictures. And
okay.
There's a lot of other people that got them, too.
Okay, I would love to see them. Please do that. You know, my address, if you want to, do you want to, like, scan them and email them to me, or do you want to just send, you know, copies, or what do you
want
to do?
Whatever you want. Everybody's got copies. Even my boss, he's got copies, too.
Well, I'll tell you, if you can email them to me, my email address, it's very simple. It's donaldhasig@gmail.com, donaldhasig@gmail.com. That'd be fantastic, you know, because I'll put them, you know, I can put pictures on the radio, you know, program website, and we can get some pictures there, too. That'd be great.
People's got pictures. They'll be probably, before I write it down, they'll probably be sending them to you.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah,
okay.
It's got to be, there's got to be some justice here. And the more information we put out there, you know, the pictures, the, you know, your account of what it's like to go, you know, work a job like that and get sick, and, you know, how bad it is when you try to get help from the government that's set up there, the workers' compensation and the different parts of the system.
Can't even get medical. Company like that.
Is there anything more that you can think of that you'd want to share with people, you know, before we wrap this up?
I tell you, I'd like to see them clean that place up. And that dump should be capped, or at least wet down round the clock. You know, you got a lot of, it's an industrial area, there's people working there during the day, and I'm sure they got health problems too. You know,
they just
seem to have a blind eye to it. I don't understand how. You know,
it's because the people that could do something about it, you know, the people that run those, you know, those operations and the government people, they know that there are dangerous chemicals in that ash, and it must be that there's just kind of lack a human concern for other people's health and for the environment too. You know, they must be basically depraved, you know, lacking in, you know, what is necessary to be a truly a reasonable human being. And
if you build a new ash block, cover up the old one, though.
Yeah.
Why leave it uncapped? They're going to tell you they don't have the money to do so. Covanta's got the money to close it up.
Right. Wow. This was quite a story that you shared, and I just hope that there'll be, you know, I'll try to promote it. I'll do the best I can to promote it so that people will, you know, listen and see the pictures and start learning about this, because I know a really great thing I'm going to do with it right off. There is this group called the International POPs, that's those persistent organic pollutants. There's this International POPs Elimination Network that's got a listserv. I'll put a notice about the story on the listserv. There's another group called Global Alliance Against Incinerators, and they fight Covanta a lot, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, people concerned about Covanta on that listserv. I'll post this on that listserv too, so there'll be some people that are very interested in this, you know, this thing with the incineration, that'll have the chance to listen to what you had to say about this.
You know, number one, the payloader that works in the ash building should stay in the ash building. That payload is running all around the premises.
Sure.
Front building, back building, all over the place. That ash gets spread out all over. It dries up, comes down the road, it gets run over, it becomes airborne. On top
yep.
of the ship falling out of the building. And, you know, operations, it's unbelievable. In the meantime, every day they have a safety meeting. If they ever invite somebody in there, tell them, hey, listen, you know, you need protective gear? Never. Never. Nothing. That's nice, right? And you're doing their job.
There's no respect for the health and the rights of the worker in a country where money is the only, you know, power. There's got
to
be some way.
I complained to my employer, Jamaica Ash, the old truck. I even wanted to pay half to get the air conditioning unit fixed in that truck. You know what I was told? We fix that, we got to fix all of them.
Hmm. All they care about is money. All they care about is money, and they let you down because the employer is responsible for what happens to the employee. I just hope that somehow you get justice.
For an essay. The guy that was at my door over here sitting in front of my house, he comes up with all kinds of paperwork. Another one.
All I can say is you have a very concern-raising story, and I wish you the best of luck. It just kind of rings kind of hollow when I say, you know, the best of luck, you know, when you've been, you know, had such terrible bad luck in having this happen to you. Man.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks a lot for being willing to share your story. And, you know, just in hopes that someone will change by doing this. Your dad was, I talked to him a bit, and he seems like a really good guy too, you know, with his interest in bringing the truth out about this. Honor to you people.
That place has got a revolving door. Covanta itself. It would be nice. Everybody who got pushed out of there, if they could contact you. You know?
Yep.
I'll
give my contact information. My contact information is my email address, donaldhasig@gmail.com, donaldhasig@gmail.com. And my phone is 315-262-2456. 315-262-2456. I'd be very interested in hearing from anybody that wants to help bring some improvements in the Covanta's operations.
Yep. Okay.
And in the Jamaica ash too. That sounds like the Jamaica ash is a big problem too.
Hey, as long as they get the check, then the nephew's an attorney. They got it locked up pretty tight out here, the whole island. So.
The only thing that'll change it, the only way to change it is us bringing out the truth about it and then having serious numbers of people say, that's wrong. That is wrong. We got to do something about that. And then push for change, in an organized kind of way. And that is hard to do. The truth is, in some ways, these corporate people have us over a barrel because, it's hard to get the work done, do the job, take care of your family, make the money, pay the rent, pay for the food, pay the power bill, and then get organized and do something to protect yourself at the same time. It's almost impossible.
Yep.
It's quite a difficult situation we really find ourselves in, and I'm just hoping that somehow people will find the time to join together and try to bring some changes. That's what I'm all about. We've had this Cancer Action New York group now since January of 2000. And we have worked so hard to bring changes up here in the northern part of New York State, up here in St. Lawrence County. It's right on the St. Lawrence River, right up on the border with Canada. We used to have this terrible problem where everybody was burning trash in these barrels in their backyards, burning trash, big piles of trash on dairy farms, burning all this trash. And finally, the DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation, they passed a regulation prohibiting that. And there's been a little bit of, law enforcement going on, and I make a lot of complaints. And we've started to cut back on that problem up here. But, man, we're downwind. We're downwind from the Great Lakes, downwind from the Ohio River Valley and the Midwest. There's very high cancer rates up here, very high cancer rates because of pollution.
Yeah, Long Island's no better.
Yeah, I'll bet. I've been down on Long Island. My brother was a forest ranger down on Long Island. And, I got down there on Long Island some. And it seemed to me like it was way too many people, way too much business going on, way too much pollution to be like healthy, and just that's a real problem, all the pollution down there.
Well,
thanks, Tom. I hope you have a great evening, and I really appreciate this interview.
Thank you for your time.
You betcha. Good luck with all your endeavors.
Yeah, thank you.
And I hope that somehow you get the health care you need, so you start, at least having the best recovery you can have, because you certainly deserve it.
You gotta get medical.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Okay. Take care.
I've been talking to Tom Andaloro. He was an employee of Jamaica Ash in Westbury, and the ash that Jamaica Ash was handling came from a Covanta incinerator in Babylon. This has been Grassroots Environmental Protection Radio. My name is Donald Hasig. And I'm hoping that all the good American people listen to these programs, listen to many others who are trying to bring the truth out about the bad behaviors of corporate people and government people that are letting down the good American people. And we all get organized and we do something about it. I'm thinking revolution, truly. We got to just do the best we can do. And truth it is, when it gets so bad, thinking revolution is a solution, because then we'll do it and we'll all be happy when it's done. Donald Hasig with Grassroots Environmental Protection Radio. Good day.